I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
It's the Ghost Divas.
Live.
They're fabulous, but evil in all the right ways.
They are witches and monsters and freaks.
Forget Triple X. The Ghost Divas are so hot, they had to change the rating system. Triple U coming your way. Uncensored, unfiltered, and uninhibited.
She was clearly insane.
As if.
Catch the Ghost Divas, TNA.
That's theory and advice. Perv.
Oh, God, men are such babies.
It's the Ghost Divas. They tackle the hottest topics in the paranormal community. Don't let the TNA fool you. These chicks actually know what they're talking about when it comes to paranormal research and subjects of the unexplained. Chicks with brains. Are you scared yet? It's the Ghost Divas live on Para-X Radio.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
So that was a lot of fun. Patricia, that is Trisha Armstrong, is an international psychic who for the past 20 years has investigated paranormal events. During this time, she has also worked as a school psychologist in Hawaii, as a newspaper reporter in Las Vegas, and as a private investigator in Virginia. And currently, she combines all of these jobs and works 2 days a week for the Heritage Center Psychic Phone Line, which is the only Edgar Cayce psychic line in the United States. She enjoys ghost hunting with the Waynesboro Paranormal Investigations Group in Waynesboro, Virginia, and recommends the Buckhorn Inn in Churchville, Virginia, as a dimensional portal where ghosts are easily accessible. At the Buckhorn Inn, the ghosts there see us as intruders and feel that we are the ghosts. Patricia, that is Trisha, is available on the Heritage Holistic Center toll-free psychic line on Mondays from 10 to 6. We'll get to that in a moment, but I do want to throw out her I want to let everybody know her websites. Ah, here we go. We have www.waynesboroghosts.com. That's WaynesboroGhosts, WaynesboroGhosts.com. And then, of course, www.heritagestore.com/schedule.htm. And, of course, they're linked up at www.ghostlytalk.com. You know, Patricia,
yes.
We met, actually, at Ghost World, and I thought you were one of the coolest people. As it just happened, you breezed by the booth. Hey, how you doing? And I was instantly attracted. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You rock. And then you actually contacted me a little while later, and I'm like, we've got to talk with you about all this stuff that you're doing, because you are fantastic. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you very much, Doug. I appreciate the chance to talk story with everybody. That's a Hawaiian expression. We talk story, tell people what's going on, and find out what's going on with them.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, this is absolutely fantastic. You came up, shook our hands, you said, do you know, I did investigations, and I don't mean paranormal investigations. I mean, I was a private investigator. I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. And wow, Trisha, I was just so excited to meet you. You do ghost hunting, and you've been out and about doing this for quite a time. Tell me about some of the ghosts you've met.
Well, I wanted to let everybody know about the Buckhorn Inn in Churchville, Virginia. It's near Stanton, because it was the most exciting place I've been to in a long time. Because instead of just going in and finding a few ghosts and chit-chatting and finding out what was going on, this place was actually occupied by ghosts living there in every room, including Native Americans who came in the back door at midnight to do the kitchen work at this inn. And they saw us as ghosts of the investigators. It was the Waynesboro Paranormal Research Group that had invited me to go with them on this investigation. And there was one room upstairs where I went into the room because the other researchers felt there was something very negative in the room. I go in. Immediately, I'm aware that there's a ghost, an elderly man lying on the bed, and he has a Bible. And he's screaming at me, "Get out, Satan, get out, Satan." He was seeing us as demons entering his room. It was phenomenal. So I tried to reason with him. I told him, you know, we were from a different time, a different dimension. And he said something about, you know, he wasn't buying into it, so we had to leave the room. But I love this place. I recommend it to everybody. Outside, there's sort of a building where slaves were kept at. And as I was walking outside, there was an elderly black man sitting, a ghost, who was doing apparently readings for people, telling their fortune. And he looked up, and he saw two of us, and saw us as ghosts. And he said something about, who are you and where are you from? And I said, we're from a different time, we're from the future, and we're visiting here. And he said, what manner of dress is this? Because we both had on pantsuits. And I said, we're women. And he said, no women dress like that. Get out of here.
Wow.
So it was a lot of fun, and I just loved it. But, Doug, I got to tell you, when I got into this, I did not want to be a ghost hunter. I was not interested in being psychic or any of it. I thought people who had these abilities needed medication and that they were a little, had a few problems upstairs. And as a psychologist, I met a lot of people who saw ghosts, saw things, heard voices. So this was normal. I did not want to be one of those people.
Wow. And, I mean, for just, well, just as confusing as, you know, the fellow who was doing readings for people and saw you guys and, whoa, what's going on? When there must have been a moment where you had all of a sudden realized, hey, these folks that say they've seen ghosts and that they think their, you know, dead relatives are sending them signs and things like that, and they're obviously reading into stuff, you know. There had to have been a moment of realization. How did that hit you?
Okay. I was working as a school psychologist in Hawaii. I was a normal person, didn't see ghosts, didn't talk to people in this culture. And I was coming back from one of my schools, Lapahoehoe on the Big Island, and the traffic was stopped because there had been an accident. So I was sitting in my car, and I'm not a very religious person, but I was praying for whoever was in the ambulance that they wouldn't suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I'm floating inside the ambulance, looking down at a paramedic working on a young woman. And he says to her, "You better not die on me." And then all of a sudden, I'm back in my body, and there are horns honking all around me because traffic is moving. 2 minutes down the road, I hear a voice, as clearly as I can hear yours, say, "I'm all right, little one, I'm free." And so I go back to the school district, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm hearing voices in my head now. So I talked to a Hawaiian Japanese friend there, and I said, okay, here's what happened, what do you think? She said, okay, we have two choices. One is, you Howleys, you Caucasians, you come to the islands and sometimes you crack up. Different culture, different food, everything different. Or the veil between this side and the other side has parted. And she said, let me call the sheriff and see if a young woman died in the ambulance at the scene. So she checked. Sure enough, she had. She came back and she told me, my friend told me, she said, okay, I don't know anything about the veil parting and dealing with people on the other side, but we have some Hawaiians here that you can talk to, and they'll help you deal with it. And that's how I got started on this.
Wow. So, and that's a pretty powerful thing. I mean, obviously tragic, yes.
Yes.
But still pretty powerful that you had contact just like that. And had to come to grips with it. I mean, that's an amazing thing. You know, I want to talk real briefly about the Buckhorn Inn real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if we gave the website, so I wanted to give the website of that. It's www.thebuckhorninn.com. thebuckhorninn.com. So you run all four words together, the Buckhorn Inn, or maybe it's three. Is Buckhorn one word? But the thebuckhorninn.com is how to get to that site. You know, the Buckhorn Inn is in, you said, Churchville?
What? It's near Stanton, Virginia.
Oh, near Stanton. Okay. And it's a bed and breakfast. And what does it look like? Like, what is it? Is it on a any special type of ground, or is it near a body of water, or is it, you know, like what kinds of properties would cause it to be so incredibly active?
Okay, it's several hundred years old. It was used, it was built prior to the Civil War. It was a tavern. It was a place where people stopped when they were traveling. Then during the Civil War, it was used as a hospital. And then after that, it was again used as a tavern. And now it's been converted into a bed and breakfast.
Ah, so it was all pretty much always a place where people would go to. It was a destination.
Yeah.
It was a crossroads. It was, not necessarily an end of a journey or the beginning of a journey, but it was a way stop on a journey. So it was definitely a place that ghosts would probably want to be.
Right.
And so they're still there. When the owners bought it, did they have any idea?
I don't know. The owners have changed several times. Kevin and Kim Daly, who owned it when I went for the investigation, they knew that it was haunted, and they had invited the group to come in. And they have since purchased another facility or place called, it's a mill where people used to grind their grain in Lexington. And they've invited me to go down there and do an investigation. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, and that sounds fun. So they were, you know, definitely aware. I mean, because there are people still who are not aware that their places are haunted. Or you know, there's so many signs that we get every day, and we're just not acknowledging them. And we choose to... We choose to put them out of our heads or say, okay, well, that could be coincidence and that could be coincidence. Uh-huh. And eventually, you know, some people just don't pay attention to the coincidences that add up. And that's kind of sad, but some people do, you know, they don't come to the realization. They are like you were when you were the guidance counselor and no, these people are crazy. There are no ghosts. There's nothing.
Right.
And so the Buckhorn Inn even could fall into such hands, but... You know, that's the way life is right now.
Yeah. When I lived in Hawaii, the Hawaiians are much more in tune with nature energy and spirits, and they take it for granted. So that was a good experience for me to have out there where it was more acceptable rather than back here on the mainland.
Yeah, I have a feeling if you had had that in, like, Hartford, Connecticut or something, it would have been a totally different kind of experience, you know.
Yes.
Because they're, you know... maybe even in the deep south it would have been a better experience because you could have drawn on, you know, more older customs, older ingrained accepting lifestyles. On Hawaii, so when you went to Hawaii originally, was it something you had always wanted to do, or was it an opportunity that presented itself? Like, why did you end up in Hawaii?
Well, I had gone to graduate school in Michigan, and one day with the wind chill, it was 30 below zero, I was outside scraping off my windshield, and my hand froze to the window. And I had to wait for someone to come out with water to pour on my hand so I could get my hand off the windshield. And I said, that's it. I'm getting out of Michigan. So a friend of mine had gone to apply for a job in Hawaii, didn't get it. She came back. I had gone to the Virgin Islands looking for a job, didn't get it, came back, and I was telling her about it, and she said, oh, quit whining. Here's a newspaper from Hawaii. Go get a job. That was it.
Wow. So it sort of just, you know...
Happened.
Interesting, because it sure sounds like a coincidence, but then it also set up the, you know, the rest of your life.
Yes.
Which is amazing. I don't take those as coincidences, you know.
And I went to, I was working with several spirit guides and on the island, and I was told to go to California and drive across country, and they'd tell me where to stop. Now, I knew this was insane. I knew people who talked like this were insane. but I felt that it was the right thing to do. So I shipped my car to California, started driving across, got to Las Vegas, and was there a day. I had no intention of staying. But I opened up the newspaper and looked under the want ad, and there was a want ad for psychic, which I was not. I was just a person having these experiences. But it said they wanted a psychic for Earth Medicine Studio. Now, if it said anything else but Earth Medicine, it was like a hook. So I called the lady up and said, I'd like to interview for this job, and she said, you're hired. And
wow.
I said, excuse me? And she said, yeah, I have been running this ad for 6 weeks. I was told someone would come, and I was to hire them. And you're the only person that's answered this ad.
Wow. Now, that's really, again, with the coincidence word, that is more than a coincidence. I mean, that's amazing.
So I wound up staying in Las Vegas, working as a psychic part-time and working as a newspaper reporter the rest of my time to support myself. Had a great time.
And that's where you presumably learned a lot of stuff.
Yes. The Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas, I cannot tell you how awesome it is. The pyramid shape has so much energy in it that there are entities, Egyptian entities, that walk through the halls there. And one time I did just a little workshop in one of the rooms where I was teaching people how to feel energy between their hands.
Right.
All of a sudden, there are these two huge Egyptian guys standing right beside me, and one of them says to the other one, oh, she can't move energy. She's no disturbance in the pyramid. Let's go. And they were gone. In other words, they came in and they felt some energy movement taking place in the pyramid, and they knew that it wasn't significant enough to disturb the pyramid energy.
Oh, that is fascinating. Here's something interesting about me. When I was in fifth grade, now I'm old now, so this was quite a number of years ago,
yeah.
And I was in the same elementary school where I actually, library, you know, that you had library, uh-huh. You were learning how to use the library, and I checked out a book on witchcraft, which I highly, that started the whole thing, right, of my interest in the paranormal. Well, we didn't, obviously I don't think they'd have a book like that now, because it's probably not very politically correct, but they did when I was a kid, because, you know, we didn't.
They still got them.
Really?
They should know. I work in a library.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad they do. And then what happens is, I was in fifth grade, and my teacher decided that there was going to be because there was some flexibility then in what they could teach, and she decided that we would do some pretty interesting, like, metaphysical kind of experiments. And one of them was to build a pyramid, to use pyramid power to do some of these things that pyramid power is supposed to be able to do. And, for example, it takes longer for milk and eggs and things to spoil when they're in a pyramid. Things can heal better and faster when they're in a pyramid. There's different things that pyramid power was, that it worked on. I mean, it just has a magical proportion of the mathematics involved in the pyramid shape, as well as what it does with the, you know, concentration of the energies. So so we learned this in fifth grade.
Wow. That's awesome.
In school. This was elementary school. This was a public school, and we learned this. And we did experiments. We put a chicken egg and, you know, things like that in this pyramid. And we, you know, noted the results because we had to do it somewhat scientifically. But it was definitely an interesting thing to learn in public school. So when you talk about the Luxor Hotel and the pyramid power, I know I totally know what you're talking about, but I don't know if other folks would know. Tell us what you think the pyramid, the shape, the energies, what kinds of powers the pyramid would have.
Well, I only know my experience has been that the pyramid, that the only one I've dealt with is the Luxor, and that there are Egyptian entities that are there guarding the power, the energy. And one of the reasons I went, besides curiosity, was that Chris Angel has his office in the bottom there, And I've seen his performances, and some of them, the energy is different than a regular magician. So I know something different is going on there, and I went to see if I could feel the connection between the pyramid power and Criss Angel. I couldn't get a handle on it, but I know that it's like a portal, an interdimensional portal where entities can come and go through the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And when people sleep in the pyramid there, I think they have access to that ability more than they would other places.
Interesting, and I have to say, there was in the 70s, was I in school in the 70s? It would have been the 70s. 67 and what, 5 and 6, 11. Ooh. Yeah, so it would be late 70s.
It was. Right? I have a vintage paranormal paperback, and it's called Pyramid Power.
You have that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, can I borrow it?
Yeah, I'll give
okay.
it to you.
Vintage. Wait a minute. I was in elementary school in the vintage
okay,
era.
It's in my vintage collection, so that's why.
Trisha, I think I'm being dissed.
I think that was a very nice way to diss you.
Yes, it was very nice. Trisha, I do see what you're talking about, because pyramid power and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the reasons that we studied it, and we did. We studied it in elementary school, and I think you definitely might be onto something there. Maybe that's the only place I'll stay when I go to Vegas. If I go to Vegas, it's been a long time.
Definitely, we're staying there. I had a friend go with me, and she wasn't too sure about all this stuff, and she woke up in the middle of the night, and she said, "Somebody's in the room." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, I felt somebody standing over my bed pulling things out of my stomach." She said it was like an energy vapor, that sort of like a rope. And I said, "Well, I think they were healing or taking negative energy out of the body."
Yeah, yeah. And that could be. I mean, in a pyramid that large, there's obviously going to be a lot more freedom of movement and things that the power can do than in a small one like we had to build, because, you know,
right.
We didn't have very much resources. We were in fifth grade.
Doug, I wanted to ask, what's been your experience with orbs?
Orbs are, you mean the ones on digital cameras?
I've had a couple experiences where they spoke.
Okay. Well, I have, I really have to discount most orbs, I mean the ones in photos anyway, and that's because unfortunately the dust does happen. But if you're talking about an energy orb that you can't capture on a photo, like it's not an artifact of a digital camera, if you're talking about orbs like that, I think a circle is just about as good a shape as any for another being.
I went to the Hopi Reservation,
mm-hmm.
and it's located on the Navajo Reservation, and they had a little motel there you could stay, and it wasn't very safe, and the doors didn't close very well, and I was a single woman staying there by myself. So I had taken a trash can and leaned it up against the door and put pop bottles on it. So when I went to bed at night, if anybody opened it, it would make a lot of racket.
So a little alarm system going.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm asleep, and all of a sudden, during the middle of the night, I wake up, and there are these two blue balls, orbs of light, over by the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear one orb say to the other, "Do you think this is an altar?"
Interesting.
And I said out loud, I said, "No, that's a burglar alarm in case somebody's breaking in." And as soon as I said that, one of the orbs flew over to the side of the bed and said, "Would you like to come with us?" And, of course, it freaked me out totally. And I said, "No, get out of here." Scared me to death.
Well, that's interesting.
Later I went to a conference where they explained that there are two kinds of orbs. One they consider an artificial intelligence, and the other is some kind of probe that's just coming down to get information. I don't know about this. I just heard that at a conference. But that was the only experience where I had an orb talking to me.
Well, I want to tell you what I think, but I'm going to have to do it after this independent music break.
Okay.
because I've heard of interesting stories similar to that, and I do want to share with you a little bit about that. But first, I'm going to take everybody off to listen to some independent music. Right now, though, I want everybody to go over to your computers, if you're not already in front of it, and type in www.waynesboroghosts.com or type in www.heritagestore.com/schedule.htm. That's more information on our guest, Tricia Armstrong, who ghost hunts sometimes with the Waynesboro Ghosts. Highly recommends the Buckhorn Inn at thebuckhorninn.com. And, of course, if you're going to go, we're all going to end up going to the Luxor and spending a night. Just all of us. We're all going to get a room and we're going to do that. Hang on, Tricia. I'm going to take everybody into a break, and then we are going to continue our discussion on orbs, on pyramid power, on anything and everything that comes up.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Our first story comes from the Liverpool Echo. Brookside ghosts are little too real. The cast of a new British horror movie being filmed on the Liverpool set of the soap opera Brookside today claim the infamous close is haunted. Stars of the Gorefest movie Salvage said that they have been terrified by paranormal activity. Director Lawrence Gow's film sees residents trapped in the close by military snipers hunting a suspected terrorist. The plot turns into a bloodfest as something more sinister starts to wreak murderous havoc. Actor Sean Dooley, 33, who plays main character Kieran, said there's been some strange things going on, and the cast are convinced this street is haunted. We've dubbed it Spookside, he said. At certain times of the day, the lights flicker out, and photographs have gone missing from the set. And we haven't been able to shoot the final scene in the woods because every time we approach the set, dark clouds appear and gale-force winds blow up. It's as if the ghosts on Brookside Close don't want us to be filming, and it's freaking people out. Director Lawrence Gow, 37, believes the Close is the perfect set for a horror movie. He said, "When we heard Brookside Close was available, I thought it was an absolute must. The whole film is about turning a respectable street upside down, and this was the ideal place for us. It's a great set for a horror movie." Our next story comes from Express and Star. Stars from the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here spent the night at the Black Country Living Museum to record a special episode of Most Haunted. King of the Jungle Christopher Biggins was joined by fellow contestants Cyrus Matthews, Matt Willis, Willis's girlfriend Emma Griffiths, and Dean Gaffney for a shoot which was hosted by presenter Yvette Fielding. The celebrities were guided around the museum's gaslit village and the nearby guest hospital site where they explored psychic spaces, spiritual hotspots, and Black Country's bumps in the night. Several members of the staff have reported being unnerved by ghostly goings-on at the museum over the years. One worker, Ann Key, saw a vision of a terrier-like dog in the room above the chemist shop, and another, Carol Johnson, saw a tall figure walk past the door in the toll cottage where she was mopping up. When she went to investigate and tell whoever it was they should not be back there, there was nobody there. The museum's marketing assistant, Angela Clay, said the crew arrived and set up at about midday and the celebrities turned up at about 7 p.m. and stayed until 6 a.m. the following day. You could hear the screams coming from inside the building. Dean Gaffney was one of the most frightened. "I hate to hear a grown man scream, but here's a clip of Dean Gaffney screaming for Yvette to come get him."
Sensing that Dean is near hysterics, Yvette decides it will be better for all concerned, including the spirits, to relieve him from his ghostly nightmare.
Comes from the Valley News Dispatch in Pittsburgh. Late one night a few years ago, Lisa Hockenberry lay on her living room floor watching TV with one of her sons, and she wondered why there was a man in her kitchen. It was no man, but a dark silhouette that quickly disappeared, according to Hockenberry, 38, who lives with her two sons in a typical suburban ranch home overlooking Kinloch in Lower Burrell. But life is anything but normal at the Hockenberry residence, which is rich with reports of dark silhouettes, knocking noises, unexplained security system alarms, cold spots, and a whispering voice. I just ignored it for 2 years, Hockenberry said of the strange occurrences. But the Lower Burrell woman grew more concerned when she felt the sensation of two hands on her back when she comforted a sick child recently. It's another thing when it touches you, says Hockenberry. She promptly sought help. The home is under investigation by the Greater Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. The paranormal group checks for electrical problems and structural and equipment malfunctions. The team includes a firefighter who tests for radon and carbon monoxide. Although Hockenberry's case is still under investigation, the team is intrigued by the home's proximity to the site of the Clintock mine disaster of 1929. The researchers report that the Hockenberry's residence is close to a firewall where dozens of miners perished. This investigation is still ongoing. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
You are invoking the spirits to help you. But the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful. You shall be a toy in their hands.
That bump out, that's called, we call that a bump out. And I didn't expect it to kick in like that. That was something. We're talking with, of course, Patricia Armstrong. We call it Trisha is her name. And her website, www.waynesboroghosts.com. That's the group that she goes hunts with. She's also a psychic, and she, you do the phone call thing in Las Vegas. So you've worked and you work phone lines for the Heritage Center. You are one busy, busy, busy lady.
Yeah, I really enjoy the variety. I just got an article accepted for Angels on Earth, a little magazine about people's experience with angels. And my niece, my brother-in-law dropped over dead in his living room one day from a heart attack. And while my sister was on the phone calling the paramedics, her four-year-old daughter was in there with her dad. And then, of course, the paramedics were there in minutes, and her mom had her go back in the bedroom. So he was revived. He had open-heart surgery. He lived. About 6 weeks later, I'm up there. We're having dinner. And the little four-year-old says, "Hey, Mommy, are the ladies in the white dresses coming back?" And my sister says, "No, no, those were paramedics, and they wore red clothes." She said, "No, no, the ladies in the white dresses who were with Daddy." And so my sister said, "Well, what did they say?" And the baby said, "I don't know. I don't talk angel talk."
Angel talk.
And so then she said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, you made me go back to my room. So I was sitting in my room, and I could still hear the ladies talking until the sirens came to the house." And she said again, "Well, what did the ladies say?" And she said, "Mommy, I told you, I don't talk angel talk."
Wow.
Yeah, and so we're sitting there, and my brother-in-law's like, "Whoa, I guess I was a lot closer to being dead than I thought."
Do you think is that what happens? That everybody has angels watching them?
All I know is that she saw three ladies in white clothes, dresses, she said, talking to her daddy while he was laying on the floor. And so my impression is, yes, that we have people come to help us when we die.
And, you know, I'm thinking it might not only be when we pass on, because I've had what I have to call a minor miracle. I've witnessed this. Were you with us, Amber, when we were going out to, I think we were going to the Felt Mansion or something, and
no,
there
was that the accident?
Four or five
no.
cars, and okay.
Nope.
Yeah, I should have been less some living friends today because of that auto, what was it, mishap. And because it was too many things happened too quickly. There were like four or five cars in a row of us, and it was way too close. It could have been a lot worse. And I call that a miracle. I really do. And I think that somebody's angels or all of our angels were looking out for us, saying, you know, "Hey, all right, this is a bad situation. We're going to have to really time this delicately." And they did. It really, really worked out. So I'm kind of thinking maybe that is probably what really might have happened, the three angels talking. It very well could have been.
What I'm surprised and impressed with now are the children who are talking about angels and what they see and the lights. I had a lady, I was walking out of Meyer Thrifty Acres, and this little boy came up to me, I guess he was maybe four or five, and he says, "Hey, lady, can't you hear me?" And he was talking to me telepathically, but I wasn't, of course, tuning in. And I looked down and I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "Well, you're purple. I know you can hear me." And he was talking about the lights, the aura, the energy. So the children, one of the things I tell my clients is if they have small children, I say when you put them to bed at night, ask them, besides you and me in the room, who else is in the room? And don't freak out when they tell you, "Oh, there's a lady over there, there's a face floating on the ceiling." And they'll tell you who else is in the room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that kids are definitely nowadays, you know, they're talking about indigo children, things like that. I think it very well could be happening. I'm interested in that topic as well. But I also want to know, first of all, I want to tell you about the orbs, right?
Yes, yes.
I haven't experienced an orb entity talking to me, but when I saw, there was one time, because I can see auras, I had taken some, you know, adult evening classes, even though I was a teenager, but, you know, you can still sign up and take them. And,
right.
And I took some adult evening classes, and one of them was in psychic development, that kind of thing. And this was a long, long time ago. And I can't believe I'm bringing this up on the air. But one of the things that the lady showed us how to do was see auras. And I thought for sure, you know, okay, well, that's just a trick of the light or whatever. But I was looking at you know, doing what they tell you to do. And I could see an energy around her. And it had, you know, a color. And I thought that was really interesting. Well, it sort of verified it a little bit when... you know, when she says, well, what do you see? And she didn't ask me. She asked someone else, which was fine. And the person described what she had seen. And I'm like, well, that's kind of what I see, too. And she goes, well, you're right. You're right. This is what that color means. This is what that color means. And I'm like, oh, maybe it is what I'm seeing. I don't know. Well, ever since then, I knew I could see something anyway. And over time, I, you know, sometimes will look and sometimes I won't, you know, and pay attention. Uh-huh. But there was this one time I was sitting in a friend of mine. She was giving a speech in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was watching her, you know, I was in the very back row because I was, you know, I was just, you know, a friend. I wasn't there for the, you know, I was there for her and for her speech and to support her and everything, but I wasn't there, you know, for her to give me a reading or anything like that. I was just there for support, and I was watching, and I saw an aura, but it wasn't on a person. This was, you know, one of the few that I've seen like this.
Okay.
And it was indeed an orb. It was round, and it was an aura without a person inside of it. I mean,
wow.
it looked exactly like a person's aura, but it was, and it had no color. It was just energy at that point.
Yeah.
It was not blue, it was not purple, it wasn't anything. It was just, it was transparent, but you could see the energy, or I could see the energy, and it was in the form of a big circle, and it was a circle. And it was up into it. I was facing her, so it was up into I would look up into the right of her, and she would, and there was this orb just hanging there in the air, visiting or whatever it was doing. It didn't say anything or interfere or do anything. It just was there, and then eventually it faded away. And I thought, well, that was really odd because I mean it's very rare that you'd see just like this big energy aura kind of thing in the air with no person inside of it. And
I think that's awesome.
I thought it was pretty odd. So we're talking at dinner later that night, and she says, do you know who was here? And I'm like, what do you mean who was here? And she goes, well, you know, my friend who passed away a few months ago, she was here with me. And I, of course, you know, the lady I was there with couldn't say anything about it during the actual speech. So later at dinner, and I said, oh, I saw her. And she's like, you what? And I explained. And you can ask. You can ask Bonnie. You can ask Kelly, who is the lady I was there to see. I really think that that's who it was. So I think that there are indeed sometimes where orbs are, you know, can be people as well. But I think that they're, you know, they're definitely around us, and that's just an easy or convenient shape at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
But she was definitely round, and which fits the description of an orb.
Wow.
But it wasn't color, and it's not the kind of thing that you could photograph, because unless you had a Kirlian photography machine or something like that to get that kind of energy. But it was the same way that I see auras. It was the same stuff, I should say.
Did you know the National Institute of Health has been doing research for the last 15 years on electrical energy off the body that we interpret as auras to be able to read illness?
Well,
I do know
that, for example, and this might come closer to home for you, because you live in Virginia now, right?
Yes.
Specifically, I know you work in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at the Heritage Center sometimes on the phone lines.
Right.
So this might come close to home, but I know that, for example, Edgar Cayce had said, because I study Edgar Cayce sometimes, that eventually they will be able to take a drop of blood and diagnose illnesses and things like that from that. Now, when he said that, that was, you're talking turn of the century, because he, you know, he lived in, you know, towards the early 1900s, and is when he was doing his work. And they, And that was, like, really, really mysterious at the time. But now they definitely do that. So I would think that a natural extension of that would be to measure those subtle, you know, because it's very, very small amounts of energy coming off your body. But I do know that it's visible if you train yourself or if you can see that kind of thing. I know that it's visible, and I don't consider myself a psychic or anything like that. I just think that I can see the energies, and they, some of them do have color. And so what happens is I think that if you can detect it with an eye, eventually they're going to figure out how to detect it, you know, like you can already do the Kirlian photography and see an aura through a picture that way. So eventually they're going to figure out a way to do that, to take a full body scan of the energy coming off of your body and diagnose the different problem areas. I just see that as a natural and scientific extension.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the most fascinating things I've seen recently was where they use thermal imaging cameras to detect ghosts in a room. Because they have energy. They have a presence, an electrical energy. And most fire stations now are in the process of getting thermal imaging cameras so that they can look in a building and see if anybody's alive in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
But someone had used it to, they had a psychic do a reading for someone, and as the psychic did a reading with the thermal imaging camera going, they could see the psychic's energy going towards that person and picking up on their energy. And so the next step is for us to be able to get one of these cameras. Of course, they cost $30,000,
$40,000. They're very expensive.
It's going to be hard. But I would like to take one of those on an investigation, and then we could really see some good stuff happening.
That would be fascinating. Well, I mean, they do talk about cold. And you felt, in your investigations, you felt cold spots and maybe even warm spots?
Yes.
Because I felt both. I felt the cold and the warm spots. And yes, I do think that some of the things that can cause phenomena to happen takes energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some of the energy may come from the ambient air, either the temperature or the movement or whatever, noise that we can't even hear. You know, some kind of energy is supplying energy to make photo, you know, things show up in photos and things show up on EVP recordings. And, and I really think that it takes energy from somewhere to make, to put that there. And sometimes it's temperature, and sometimes you will see, you know, you could see the form in, on the right kind of equipment. And sometimes that's going to be thermal imaging.
Yes. And Alan Gross works with the Waynesboro Paranormal Research Group, and he brings all the video equipment and motion sensors and you name it, he brings it with him, and we do all the recording and then spend hours going back over it for EVPs and orbs and everything. It's very time consuming. People think that it's a quick fix and you get evidence and you're, you know, good to go, but it takes a lot of time to do these investigations.
Well, that's the thing, is for every minute that you're at the investigation, you've got audio recording, video recording, and hopefully a whole sheaf of photographs to go through, and you've got to go through them several times, usually by several pairs of eyes and ears, in order to catch everything. So it's even if an investigation takes, like, let's say it takes 3 hours, you're going through those same 3 hours in all the different evidence, you know, evidence captures that you can do, you know, recording, audio, video, and photograph. You're going through that again and again and again. You're reliving those few hours over and over again. You do it, and then someone else will do it, and then someone else will do it in order to try and catch everything. So definitely that couple of hours on an investigation lasts a long, long time afterwards.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people get it who just, you know, go on, you know, they watch on TV and it takes a half hour in order to do an investigation. And then you're like, oh, well, look, you know, in a half hour they did all these things, you know. And no, it takes a long time and a lot of hard work and perseverance. When you go out ghost hunting, what are they like? What are the Waynesboro ghost hunters like?
Very eclectic group, everybody from different walks of life with different talents, different interests. Everyone, of course, interested in getting some proof that there is an afterlife and there are ghosts. They're very skeptical, which I like. They try to rule everything out that it could be, you know, like with orbs, they say it could be dust. With ectoplasm, it could be a mist coming down from the trees. When we left the Buckhorn,
you are the only participant.
Oh, can you hold for 1 second?
That's honey key to continue this conference.
I need to drop this because evidently somebody had dropped out.
Press any key to continue this conference.
Going to drop it.
Okay.
There we go. That should have done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a good group. They do a lot of investigations. They're in Waynesboro, Virginia. And there are groups all over the United States. You go over to meetup.com on the internet, and you can find ghost groups everywhere.
Oh, yes. I'm familiar with that because I know our friend down in Texas had, Elmo, had totally started a couple of meetup groups down there and ended up with a very successful and extremely active ghost hunting community down there. And he started all that out on meetup.com. So I know that that's a great place to go meet other ghost hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fantastic start and very good advice. All right, we have like less than a minute left, Tricia. I can't even believe this flew by.
It was fun.
What's coming up on your schedule?
Well, right now I'm finishing some work on a book. I'm giving some talks at the Heritage Center, just doing a little bit of everything, trying to get some more things published. But most of all, I'm just enjoying myself.
And don't forget to watch for your article in Angels on Earth magazine.
Yes.
Right? So that's very exciting and good work. And I have to say, it was such a pleasure meeting you at Ghost World and getting to talk with you on the phone. I mean, this is fantastic. We got to learn a bit about you. And you learned a bit about us as well, I think.
Yes. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. Can you hang on the phone for just a moment,
yes,
and then I'll talk with you after we go into the break. I just wanted to definitely say thanks. I want to also throw out the websites again. The ghost hunting group that you work with mostly is Waynesboro Ghosts, and they're at the waynesboroghosts.com. That's WAYNESBORO, ghosts is GHOSTS.com. So WaynesboroGhosts.com, and then of course you work for the phones at the heritagestore.com/schedule.htm, and then of course your one of your favorite B&Bs, bed and breakfasts, thebuckhorninn.com, awesome place. I can't wait to go out there. Thanks, Tricia, and hang on. I'm just going to send everybody out to this break, and then we're going to and I'm going to thank you again right after that because I can't thank you enough. You guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Amber.
And we're going to leave you with some wonderful independent music coming up, and then we'll be back with Nancy Miller Ogren's return to Ghostly Talk.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.